I'm the guardian of two men who are in the rubella generation, and they live in a group home. And I know because of the pandemic, all of the group homes, and maybe Barbara Clunan can also say so, they've been very isolated. And it's been dependent on the individual group homes, whether they needed to stay isolated or were given the okay to go out in the community. I know for the two men who live in a group home of men who are deafblind, they are working to hire someone to get them back out in the community. So they're making an effort, but I think the COVID and pandemic has just, you know, isolated those group homes and those individuals, and difficult for them to be able to get the services under those circumstances. Thank you.
It's Barbara. I can speak to that also, the same as Kathy had said. They have had many difficulties with that. They have been very isolated, which is unfortunate. And I think there have been staffing issues where they don't really have the staff that would be able to deliver the services, which, you know, would be available. The money's available, but the people aren't available. So I think that has also been an issue, and in addition to the fact that they've been very isolated and don't really get out as much as it would be nice, you know, as we would prefer. But and there was a question on last the minutes from last time of our meeting about the camp, and you know, the one thing I do know, which I think is correct, is that they are not running the summer camp as an overnight, but people have been able to go down to camp for day trips.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know how often that has happened, but that is a possibility to use the camp on a daily basis, but there has been no overnight camping, from what I understand.
This is Margie. Thank you very much for telling me that, Barbara, because I did speak to someone previously. They said they were going to go to camp, but then I did not hear anything back from them. They were kind of like, they were supposed to submit invoices to me, and I had not received anything yet. So hopefully we'll get something at least going forward from July 1st in the new fiscal year.
Yeah, hopefully they will, you know, be able to use some of the monies, because they certainly need to use the money. Mm-hmm. But I think the delivery system has, and then the quarantines have really just limited their exposure, you know, very much. And I did speak, I said I would reach out to Oak Hill, and I did speak to Stan and encouraged that their attendance at these meetings was important, but the person is not here today, so she may have had some other issue, but we'll see what happens with that.
Barbara?
Yeah?
This is Kathy Morgan. The group home where my two men live, a group of five of them did go to Harkness and spent three nights, 4 days.
Oh, they did? Oh, okay.
They did go, and there will be no other program at the camp for them this summer. But you're right, I think many individuals were just going for the day.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think, Margie, that we would expect that there would be bills for the camp program. But this happened in this fiscal year, not in the fiscal year that just ended. So that would be up, you know, expenses for the 22-23 year. Thank you.
This is Margie. Thank you for letting me know that, Kathy. I appreciate that. So I'll look forward to that, because I was going to call in and ask them to, you know, please get the people out, and if they can, and submit me some invoices so we can move forward. Thank you for letting me know that.
Hi, this is Wayne from DDS. I did just want to mention, first I want to corroborate some of the statements that were being made. I think the past 2 years, and especially this past year, have presented a staffing crisis, essentially, for many of our support providers that are really struggling to cover basic needs. And where we've seen that the most is for individuals that need individualized one-to-one attention for certain items, and providers have really struggled. I think the tides are turning slowly but surely, and there have been some improvements. So I just wanted to corroborate the statements that are being made, and I'm hopeful for the coming year. And the second thing that I wanted to point out is that many, you know, individuals' needs should be being met, including some of the things that we're talking about through home and community-based waiver services. And so the fact that these grant funds are not being billed doesn't necessarily mean that people aren't getting out. They may be very well getting out, such as the 3 days at camp that was mentioned, and it's just being paid through another funding source. So these are things that I think we'll have to figure out moving forward. I'm happy to touch base with folks at Oak Hill too, just to look into that a little bit and see if other funding sources are being utilized, and perhaps that's why for many years there's been a zero next to Oak Hill's expenditure through this grant. Thank you.
I'd like to, on behalf of Besby, thank Wayne very much for that information and that, you know, very reassuring note. And I would like to suggest that that Margie and I, as the primary folks staffing, these services sort of are overseeing, the work of the committee, would very much like to reach out. I think, just to echo what Wayne said, it's been a really unprecedented challenge. We have sort of been almost, I don't want to say that we're stymied in our typical planning, but normally we would have had sort of more management information in our possession with which to sort of chart the course forward. For example, we have contracts in place for this fiscal year that just started earlier this month, and the work of the client service plan review team did not really take place as it has in past years, partly because a lot of these, challenges that grew up during the pandemic haven't been adequately addressed. And I think it would be extremely useful if we, Margie and I, were to be able to reach out to various of you, not just to work on the bylaws and possible changes in some of the structure of the program, but also to have a fairly swift consideration of any changes that would be necessary in allocating the funds in this year, because our traditional planning has really been thwarted a lot by these developments. And, you know, I'm delighted to hear that, you know, the services have likely been provided to our clients who are also served by DDS. But it would be useful for us to know what the likely demand for the current fiscal year that has just begun is going to be. So I will suggest that Margie and I will undertake to reach out to you to see many of you who are on this committee and on this call, how, you know, which of those two efforts we could enlist you to participate in.
Thank you, Chris. That sounds so hopeful. After 2 years of isolation, that would be great. So we are going to move on to the next thing I have on the agenda, and report on BEPB VRS meeting about deaf blind classification. Chris?
Yeah, I don't know. I could certainly give a bit of a summary. I'd also like to call on Pat Clark if she's able to participate. I don't know if Pat wants to lead off or if you'd prefer to comment later.
This is Sue Pedersen here. Pat Clark is interpreting for Sherry currently.
Great.
She's actually here interpreting for Sherry Burns, so she's unable to participate at this time. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. So a number of the BESBE Adult Services staff, myself, Chris Lassen, the supervisor, Margie Santos, the social worker, but also Mark Rafferty, a rehabilitation teacher, and David Furland, a mobility instructor. So sort of representing the different staffing groups in the BESBE Adult Services program, met last month with Pat Clark, Alvin Chegg, and Sue Shatney and Heidi Henner to begin this undertaking, where we'd like to sort of work to expand our collaboration between BESBE and the Bureau of Rehab Services. We're in the process right now of explaining a lot about our services to the clients. I think that the adult services staff spent a great deal of time in our initial meeting just outlining a little bit about the adult services independent living program, what it is that we do, how we serve clients. Pat and I were talking earlier this morning about setting up the follow-up meeting so that the BESBE staff can understand a little bit more about the various responsibilities of the BRS staff who were participating. I think those four folks that I just mentioned, and how we can both document in a more refined way information about the communication modalities for our clients and determine how best to cooperate with assisting our clients under this joint effort. Already, we've been able, and also I want to say, working as well with Muriel and Arlene at Access Through Technology, you know, we've undertaken some considerable, very specific case management for a couple of our clients. One in particular, There's been a tremendous amount of time expended, I know by Margie, by others of us at BSBY, and also by Pat, who's gone down to the nursing home where this gentleman is currently residing in a transition period to finding more stable and suitable independent living, a more suitable place to reside. And so I would say that already this effort is really paying off, but we're in the process of, it's really, I would say, it just gotten underway. And we look forward to, collaborating and drawing on these different resources to better serve our clients.
Lisa has her hand raised. Thank you again for all the comments here. I did want to add just something food for thought. Is it possible to potentially invite some deafblind consumers or clients to join our group so that we could get some of their perspective as far as input? There may be things we haven't thought of, whether, it's a blind, hard of hearing or a senior citizen and deafblind, just to kind of focus on making improvements. It may just be something to consider for the future, just to invite some guests to give us ideas going forward.
So this is Chris again. I would be happy to work with Margie to explore that and to identify, clients who might like to speak about the services they've received and what their needs are. So we could certainly do that.
That'd be great. Wonderful.
Okay. If there are no other questions or comments, we'll move on to the next meeting date. Mark your calendars. It is October 25th, 2022. Next on the agenda, BSBY program updates.
Just a moment. We're going to switch interpreters. At the same time, Lisa did just raise her hand in regards to new business, so I will allow our other interpreter to take that from there.
Sure. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Lisa. Under new business, I'd like to make a proposal that we think about, I'm not really sure how people feel about this, it's just a thought, food for thought, that I know that DBAC, we've talked about the financial piece for a long time, and there's been discussion about how things can be improved. I would like to make a recommendation that maybe quarterly that they meet, I believe that that's our meetings are quarterly, that maybe two of those meetings be focused on financial issues and the other two meetings be focused on, other issues and the mission and so on and so forth. Maybe what we can do is alternate that and see how that works. It's just a thought, just a suggestion. I'm not sure what you all think about that.
This is Kathy Morgan. I have concern of separating the discussions. We only meet four times a year for 2 hours. And I think an overview of the expenditures and a review of the programs are important. And I don't think I would want the separation between, since our communications are only for 8 hours a year, I think it should be as one committee talking around the same points each time. So I would say I would probably prefer the meetings as a go ahead now with the agenda for a full review of the services and expenditure. Thank you.
Any other comment or questions?
I did want to say, Hannah, that there neither the Children's Services nor the VR representative are present for this meeting, so there won't be updates from those two programs. And
okay.
I think we've summarized what Adult Services has been involved in already, so we can probably move on to your report at this point.
Jesse would like to make a comment.
Sure, go ahead.
Hi everyone, good morning. This is Jesse. The reason I would like to second Lisa's suggestion is I do believe the financial aspect of what is happening is very, very important. The expenditures, discussing all of that's very important. But I would like to see more time probably spent on discussing ways that we can provide things that can benefit the members of our deafblind communities. Since January, I know Lisa and I have been trying to talk about our deafblind retreat that is going to be happening next month. It's either not added to the agenda or it's the last item on the agenda and we only speak about it for a couple of minutes and then we're done. I would have liked an opportunity to really expound on that. So that's just one example of why I second Lisa's suggestion.
So this is Margie Santos, the social worker. As far as my understanding is, the reason for this Deafblind Advisory Committee meeting, it is the main goal was about the finances and the resources with the Deafblind Community Inclusion Grant, and it's how those funds are being spent. And then with that, it's also you know, how they're being spent and then the services that we can provide to help clients become independent. That was my understanding of this particular advisory committee meeting. It was to advise about the financing and how we can promote living independently, and then also to bring up like issues where, you know, where we can maybe address something to help somebody. I'm not really sure if that's, you know, like everything about the committee, but that was my understanding, is that was the reason for this committee. And then also I really believe that the financial part is very intricate, because you, again, we are only meeting four times a year, and you know, we need to explore those finances and how they're being spent, and also talking about the budget and things like that. As far as the camp being kind of put at the bottom of the list and not addressed, it has been, you know, as far as my knowledge, it has come up a couple of times, and we just get caught into doing other things on, you know, that kind of divert from the agenda. And so then it doesn't leave us time to talk about that, because then the interpreters are limited. And so if we can kind of like take, you know, that's why we have an agenda. That's why we try to follow the agenda, so we're not getting sidetracked all the time. We need to come back to the agenda and follow it so that we're not getting diverted everywhere. And that way there, we get everything that we need out of this meeting for everybody. And then all the different people that want to be able to say something can say something, if we can kind of, you know, just get back to the agenda. but then also talk about the camp too. So like there, that's where the new business meetings and, you know, ideas and things like that come in, into play.
This is Kathy Morgan again. Jesse, I agree with you that if there is information from the deafblind community from ASD, I think you're correct. It shouldn't be a new business or announcement or something like that. My thought would be if we added an item to the agenda that might reflect what Lisa and you are referring to. And I know, I'm not sure what the point would be, how we would put it in there, but I think your point is well taken, that information, both Lisa and Jesse or Sue, that maybe we have a bullet point within the agenda, and whether this is done by you, Chris, or if you have any suggestions, Lisa, Jess, or Sue, for what the agenda item might be. And then, as Margie says, you know, that we should try to then stick to the agenda so we can move along for comments at the end. Thanks.
So one of the things I would say is that we could certainly add as a regular agenda item. I mean, for example, we do have, you know, a quarterly report from Access Through Technology. We could certainly add a routine report from, you know, DBAC or DBSAN, if that would enable us to cover up more routinely the work of the committees. I will say that. So if that's one possibility, if you would like to add that as a regular agenda item.
And if I can also, if I recall, Brian would send out the minutes and the agenda ahead of time, and he would request if anybody had something that they would like on the agenda to email him, and then he would put it in the schedule to see if there would be enough time to discuss the different things that were coming across his desk. So I do recall getting those emails saying, you know, if you had something that you wanted to discuss, to let him know, and he would add it to the agenda. That way they're just, the time is, it's on there and it's touched upon.
I see Jesse's hand raised.
Hi, yes, this is Jesse here. I believe that all of those comments are great comments. I'm thinking maybe what we could do is on the agenda, there could be a timeline. For example, old business is allotted a certain block of time, and so on and so forth, so that would help to keep us on track. And so that we don't necessarily feel that we are getting rushed on any particular point. The other thing I wanted to mention was in response, I believe it was to you, Margie, I think your comment about the meeting is, the issue of financial affairs is very important. I agree. But we had talked about, you know, financial support to people who wanted to attend the retreat. We had two people who lived in group homes who wanted to go to the day camp. I believe that was mentioned. I believe. And I think, Margie, you said you were waiting for invoices for that. I guess my question is, were those invoices for them to go to camp, or were they for transportation, or were they for support people? Could you address that?
Sure. I do not know. I don't make the decisions about the camp. The invoices that I was talking about have to do with other things that are already on contract. As far as the camp goes, I was not going to